From the Spec Network, this is Fragmented, an Android developer podcast where we talk about building good software and becoming better Android developers. I'm Don Felker.
And I'm Kaushik Gopal.
Welcome to the show.
I don't know if you've heard this, but here at Fragmented, we love CI services, which is why I'm extremely thrilled today to announce a new sponsor that has been on our radar and we have loved for a long time, Bitrise. Bitrise is mobile continuous integration and delivery for your whole team. And one of the things to love with Bitrise is the dozens of integrations that they have. They take a very different approach where you don't actually have to do a lot of scripting yourself. Instead, you can just keep tacking on a whole bunch of these integrations that they already have available. Head on to bitrise.io/integrations and you'll find a page with a whole bunch of integrations. UI testing, emulator testing, Android lint checks, publishing to the Play Store, they got them all. I'll point you to this blog post that they have called Introducing Solid and Snappy Virtual Device Testing for Android. So we care a lot about UI testing and it looks like Bitrise does too, which is awesome. Head on over to bitrise.io. It's a nice and simple URL, bitrise.io. Many thanks again to Bitrise for sponsoring today's show.
Kaushik, how's it been?
It has been good. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing good. Just kind of hanging in there. You know, it's excited to record another episode of Fragmented. So, you know, it's good to be here.
Don, I don't know if you remember, on a previous episode, we talked about VR. This is like episode 79 with Etienne.
Yeah, with Etienne. Yeah, that's a good episode. Yeah.
A lot has changed in this world, I hear, since then. There's VR, there's AR, there's so many things that I have no clue about, but I'm very curious to know more about.
Yeah, there's a lot of announcements recently, and I don't really have a lot of experience in it other than kind of just seeing the demos and kind of playing with some of the demonstration apps, but I'm not really well-versed in it, and I know that you are also very interested, as you stated before, and you actually found someone we could talk to.
Yeah, so without further ado, let's welcome Yulia Kalida to the show. Welcome to the show, Yulia.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for the invite. Happy to be with you.
Yulia, for folks that aren't familiar with you, haven't seen any of your various talks that you have online, would you mind giving a little bit of background information about yourself, maybe where you work, and perhaps kind of some of the things you've been talking about recently in the community?
Yeah, sure. So I'm originally from Belarus, which is located in Eastern Europe, and I moved to New York 7 years ago. This is when I started to do programming. And currently, I'm working as an Android tech lead at Jet.com. Jet.com is an e-commerce company located in Hoboken, New Jersey. And I'm leading a relatively small team of 6 developers. And I would say that my main focus at this point is around R&D work on Android. It's primarily experimenting with early stages SDKs and APIs and technologies not really widely adopted, such as Android Instant Apps, which we released last year, and our experience with ArcWare that we released right before Google I.O. this year.
Oh, fantastic. So you have some real-world experience here with AR.
Yeah, that has been quite an interesting journey. Honestly, when we heard for the first time about ArcWare last year, just closer to the end of last year, we got excited about a really nice technology and opportunity to do AR pretty easily on Android. And this is when we started. And yeah, I have not done AR before, but definitely learned a lot since December last year.
For the folks that are out there that haven't been familiar with just the term AR Core, or even AR, would you mind breaking down what AR stands for, or what AR Core is?
Sure, absolutely. So AR stands for augmented reality, right? So, and what is an augmented reality? It's basically an enhanced real world environment, right? It's basically a technology where you're taking the current environment the user is located in, and then you're taking different camera images that are being at a user's disposal through the device. And then we can draw virtual content on top of the camera images. So basically, augmented reality, again, is an enhanced real-world environment that we can play with. And AR Core is an SDK that has been written by Google and released sometime last year. Basically facilitates all of the work for AR. So it helps to scan the environment and identify all of the real objects that are located, such as planes and edges and feature points, which we'll hopefully talk a little bit later.
So there's AR, you mentioned that. I know there's also something called VR, like the ones where you actually have an external headset and you wear. It sounds like that also has a very similar theme, right? Where it allows you to scan the outside world. Can you like help us understand what the difference is between AR, VR, if there is any difference, or is there really no difference between the two?
Yeah, absolutely. There is a difference. And I would say that the main difference is actually in the percentage of fake content or artificial content that is presented to the users. So if we're talking about virtual reality or VR, it's totally computer simulated environment, right? So there is usually disparity between where the user is currently located in the specific at the specific moment of time and what the user sees in front of himself or herself. And if we're talking about our augmented reality, there is that touch of real world environment, which is to draw something on top of that environment on camera images. And I would say, yeah, as you mentioned, another difference is in the hardware, right? VR usually requires a special VR viewer that is mounted on the user's head. And through this VR viewer, what happens is we're able to do some vision and hearing stimulation, right, in users. And in the augmented reality world, this is not really the case. In most cases, the user has a camera in their hands, and there is no really very heavy vision or hearing hearing stimulation on senses. It's just visual feedback of artificial content that is drawn on images.
Just to hop in for folks that are interested in, that was a great explanation of the differences here. If folks are interested in VR, please go back and listen to episode number 79 with Etienne Caron, where we talk about VR in depth.
That's such an interesting, like, for some reason, it seems so obvious now that you pointed out, Yulia, but I never thought about the audio feedback also being as like an important aspect in all of this. Because clearly with AR, it's almost like a lens that you're just like putting in front of you. Versus with VR, we're like, no, you're going to get immersed all the way. It's a good way of like, pointing those differences out. This whole AR stuff is pretty new, right? Like even in the Android world and like mobile development world. Can you help us sort of trace the history? Because I did get to see one of your talks, and I'll definitely add a link to the show notes there. But you mentioned that Google has tried this before, like with Tango, right? And Tango, when it came out, I know was like a really sort of cool aspect. I know many people were trying like different projects. Even we tried a couple of things with Tango, right? But as I understand, I kind of lost track because I don't deal with this on a daily basis. But can you trace the history as to what the different technologies are, what I should be using? Is there any library that I shouldn't be using? Is something deprecated? Can you like help us? Can you walk us through that?
Yeah, sure. So as you mentioned, the first step or attempt to bring augmented reality experiences to Android was the Tango technology. And Tango was amazing because it was very performant, fast, and accurate. It was very successful in mapping very large areas in basically irregular shapes product. And Tango got announced, if I remember correctly, in 2014. And the first idea that was behind Tango was really powerful. But there were just a few, I would say, blockers or issues with Tango. And one of the biggest is that Tango required a lot of hardware dependencies. So not most devices supported Tango technology. And so Tango required a lot of cameras or several cameras installed on the device, such as wide angle camera and depth sensing camera. And on top of that, a lot of sensors needed to be mounted on the device. So Tango was built for devices that actually didn't exist. And if you think about it, since 2014, there have been not so many manufacturers that released those devices that can work with Tango. And so all of this, you know, hardware dependencies and really low adoption in the community brought Tango to the point that it's actually deprecated. So it got deprecated in March this year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah, pretty quickly. So it was basically, it lived for just 4 years. As an experimentation technology. And now Google announced AR Core, and Google really committed to supporting AR Core. And the difference between AR Core and Tango is that AR Core does not require several cameras, right? And it does not require all of those sensors that Tango relied on. And already most of the devices, high spec devices that are currently exist, support AR Core out of the box, right? Not really out of the box. There should be like an external application installed on the device service to work with AR experience. The application is called AR Core that developers can download and users can download it from Google Play Store. But yeah, AR Core currently supported on tons of devices such as Pixel, Samsung, Asus, LG, and many more devices are about to come. So yeah, I would say that Tango basically outlived itself, and it was a really nice experimentation, nice first step. But most of the developers, if they start thinking about doing some AR experience and bringing AR experiences to their applications, then AR Core is the SDK to go.
One quick follow-up question. How do they manage to work around that? Is it just that the software now is more advanced, that they're able to make do without those extra sensors? Because, I mean, how, I'm just trying to understand how magically suddenly, you know, from requiring hardware, like we don't require hardware. Is it sort of like the Pixel camera where they're improved the technology there?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of both, right? So first of all, it's definitely software, right? And everything that lives in AR Core. So in most cases, it can do as much as Tango can do without all of those hardware dependencies. But if you think about it, in 2014, our devices were not as powerful as they are currently, right? So if we're talking about Pixel, Pixel devices, right? It's really high specs cameras, and most of the devices are coming out definitely have high specs that they had in 2014. So I would say it's a combination of both, basically experimentation with the software, and starting in 2014, not knowing we're doing AR on Android, then Tango was the option to go. But as we're moving forward, right, the software is getting better, right? We're getting new ideas in terms of how we can facilitate that work and potential of the devices and cameras and data that is coming from already inbuilt sensors, rather than relying on the like on the extra sensors, is probably the answer to the question.
It's interesting. It's very interesting. Do you know, I mean, just recently, like the AR kit stuff from Apple was released. Is the AR Core kind of the Google or Android equivalent to the AR kit stuff from Apple?
Yeah, I think Google wouldn't really like that comparison, but I think so. So I actually attended a talk on ARKit last week at MDev Camp in Prague, and it was really exciting for me to see that both technologies and both SDKs go hand in hand. And most of the features are identical. Both SDKs are built around the same concepts, main concepts, such as light estimation, environmental understanding, and like motion tracking. Both of them rely on anchors, on plane detection. So yeah, I would say that both SDKs are very identical. The only thing that I'm not sure about is just the latest announcement that Google has done around cloned anchors, right? And so basically, it's a capability of building an AR experience that can be shared between multiple devices. So we can store some information in the cloud, and that information is basically anchors. And this information can be pulled by different devices. So it can be pulled by either Android devices or iOS devices. So I'm not sure whether ARKit is providing the cloud anchors capability, but AR Core does. So that's probably one of the things that that AR Core is one step ahead. But maybe iOS and Apple already caught up on that, so not sure.
Interesting. And again, sorry, a follow-up to that. Is AR Core also available for iOS devices, or is that purely an Android technology?
There is an SDK for iOS, and there is actually an SDK for different platforms. Yeah, there is an SDK for Unity, Unreal, Android, and SDK. So it's pretty widespread.
Oh, interesting. So this cloud anchors thing could, because I was thinking, I mean, why would I have cloud anchors if I can't use it in anything other than like other Android devices, right? Probably other Android devices, but this makes so much more sense. If that's something that you can access in multiple platforms, then yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's correct. Probably another thing that I would love to point out with some experimentation that it has been done on Android and have seen on iOS is ARKit is a little bit more reliable in terms of tracking, right? And in terms of restoring virtual content. So what we've done is we're drawing some virtual objects on top of the camera image, and then we pan the phone to the left and right, and then we come back to the place where an object has been drawn, a 3D object has been drawn. And AR Core usually takes up to 2 to 3 seconds in order to restore 3D object. ARKit is actually instantaneous. So it's actually pretty quick in the potential of recovering what has been drawn. So that's one of the differences in like in the performance that I noticed. But again, maybe that performance will be wiped off pretty soon because both companies and both worlds are improving the SDK and technology. So wouldn't be surprised if the delay will be gone in your core.
I mean, now that we're talking about all of this, I guess the obvious question that usually pops up is, why would I use something like AR Core? You mentioned that you've been doing some R&D stuff over at Jet.com, and that makes perfect sense. But can you think, because you've been giving talks and like looking at this more closely, are there any specific use cases that you can think of where you see an immediate value? Or what are some of the fields that you think one would be interested in using AR Core? Like, why should people, you know, be interested in AR Core, if that makes sense?
Sure. Yeah, I think it's AR Core has really limitless potential in terms of use cases, right? And again, I'm working for an AMS company, and it's just a perfect example of building really nice AR experiences to provide more information about products that we're selling in the company, right? So because if you're buying new furniture or our AR experience is built primarily around electronics, right? And you actually want to see how Google Home looks like, right? From like beneath, from the back, from different angles, right? That like you cannot do this like having a 2D image right in front of you. And AR experiences provide you that opportunity of actually zooming in, reading more information about the product, trying to identify how it would look in the environment where you're buying it for. So I would say e-commerce is a perfect example to build AR experiences. And other really good cases is education, right? If you think about it, sometimes you're curious about a certain topic or a certain, I don't know, biology term, right? And you want to see how that specific cell looks right, looks like, right? Right. So it basically limitless potential of like exposing different, I don't know, biology, like biology concepts and objects and et cetera to the user. So education is probably another thing where AR experiences will be super beneficial, or arts, right? So sometimes we don't have an opportunity to go to museums or like cinemas and see some stuff that is located there, right? Or like 2D image does not provide a lot of information about a sculpture, right? You actually can like want to go around the sculpture and see how it's built from the back. So having AR sculptures built and having AR experiences is another use case where users can get more information about products, and definitely entertainment and gaming, right? Entertainment gaming has been forever. So AR experiences has been there, yeah, for quite some time. Yeah, that's what I would call the main use cases, or like point out to the main use cases.
I had kind of this light bulb moment just now, and I was like, oh, augmented reality. And it actually makes perfect sense now that you talk about the use cases, because in all of these cases, it's like, oh, you have reality in front of you, but maybe sometimes in order to, you know, spark that creative side, like, for example, you mentioned like the museum, like the sculptures, or like the things that are in front of you, which you can't necessarily visualize as well, you want to augment those things, right? And another use case I can think about is like, you know, one thing that's, I don't know about you folks, but you know, when people talk about the star constellations, I can never make head or tail of any of the constellations. I'm staring up there, I see all the stars, and I'm like, they look beautiful, but I can't necessarily see the pattern. And this is, again, like one of those cases where like, oh, actually, you can augment that by if you actually connect the dots, right? And so it makes sense. Like, it actually, the term AR actually makes so much more sense once you talk about the use cases. So yeah, probably everyone knows this, but it just, yeah, kind of hit me now.
Now, let's say I have listen so far, AR sounds interesting. I've kind of done some poking around with it just in regards to research. And now I actually kind of want to get my feet wet and start doing some stuff with AR. What's kind of the mindset that I need to get in when I'm starting to develop for AR? And how do I kind of get started with AR in general?
Sure, that's a great question. And I feel like that's something that I wasn't really familiar about when I started to work on AR. And when I read about AR Core, I thought, oh, great, AR Core will do all of the work that I need to do for augmented reality. And then I ran into an issue where I realized that AR Core is very powerful in terms of geometry detection, right? So when we think about augmented reality in general, there are two components that we have to take into consideration. There is geometry detection and there is 3D view rendering, right? And so geometry detection is all about scanning the environment, the room the user is currently located in, and trying to read and get as much information about the environment as possible, such as objects, planes, feature points, light, etc. And then we're taking this information, and then we're taking a camera image, and then we need to draw something on top of the camera image. And this is where 3D or view rendering comes into place. So AR Core is very powerful in terms of geometry detection, but it's not responsible for view rendering. So it doesn't know how to draw 3D objects.
Okay.
So, and
interesting.
Yeah. So last year when AR Core got announced, we got really excited about integrating it and playing around with this. We needed to come up with a solution of how will we actually be doing view rendering. And so the most popular solution in the Android community before Google I/O was actually OpenGL. So for us, it was actually a combination of AR Core for geometry detection and OpenGL for view rendering or 3D rendering. And after Google I/O, Google has announced a really nice SDK and plugin that basically takes all of that heavy lifting that OpenGL currently does and created scene form. And so we've migrated currently to the combination of AR Core for geometry detection and scene form for 3D view rendering. So I would say that the first step would be to think about what are you going to use for 3D rendering, because AR Core is really powerful around the geometry detection.
So kind of make sure I understand this correctly. So AR Core is used to just detect the geometry that's within an image. Maybe it's going to recognize that there's a table, that it could be a rectangle or a circular table. It could recognize just various different objects. And then it provides you, and I'm just guessing here, it provides you with the data about those geometry points where you can actually take that and render objects on top of them, and that can be done with OpenGL or scene form. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. That's a perfect description. Yes.
And so what exactly is scene form? There's OpenGL. Is this a brand new thing? Is it just making OpenGL easier? What exactly is that?
Yeah, so if the developers have ever worked with OpenGL, probably they have this really painful experience, thousands of lines of code, and it was really not maintainable, really painful, really boilerplate. And so Google really realized that AR Core is not sufficient, right, because it just do part of the job for augmented experiences, and they decided to build an alternative for OpenGL, right? So Sceneform is basically a new 3D framework that does 3D rendering for you. So it has a physical renderer that does its job perfectly well, and Sceneform is also a plugin that we as developers can use in Android Studio, and it helps us to drop our files like 3D assets to generate 3D models. And when I'm talking about 3D assets, I probably would like to identify that again, in 3D rendering, there are two components. There is a geometry or the skeleton of the object. So if you think about it, it's basically a collection of different vertices of how the object or geometry of the object would look like. And it's like the backbone, right? And then another part is the material, right? And so it's usually provided in the format of PNG or WebP files, right? So it's basically material that we will overlay on top of our skeleton in order to draw this object. And so if we're talking about OpenGL, connection of geometry and connection of materials is very hard. It's a lot of boilerplate code. It's really thousands of lines of code. And in the scene form, there is a plugin, right, that developers can use. And basically, they can draw a geometry file. It can be OBG, GLTF, or FBX. This is just different formats of the file. And they can draw up a material file, right, or texture file, such as PNG or WebP. And then the scene form will do object generation, 3D model generation for us under the scene. So it's basically, we don't really need to write a single line of code to create a 3D model. Scene form will do everything on its side.
But you still need to create the 3D model, though, and then you got to provide it the skin so it can kind of render that properly. Is that
Yeah, that's correct.
Correct. Or no?
Yes, that's okay. Correct. So at first you have to create a 3D assets, right? It's OBG, FBX, or GLTF file, right? That will be responsible for geometry skeleton of the object, and then PNG or WebP for the texture.
I know I'm kind of diving off a little bit to the left here, but I'm sure that someone has this question too, is what tools would I use if I want to actually go create a 3D model? Is there anyone out there that you could recommend? So even if I just want to go create a square or a rectangle or something like that, what would I use?
That's a great question. This is not something that I have done because creating of 3D assets, right? It's just a totally different field. We actually outsource it to a different company to build the models for us and to provide the assets for us. Google advertised some tooling, experimentation tooling in terms of not creation, but taking already existing 3D assets and just play with them. And I don't remember the website, but if you check out the Google recording this year from Google I/O, that would probably give you a good example of like where you can find examples of the assets to play with.
Cool. Excellent. Yeah. I wonder if you can use SketchUp. I don't know. We'll have to look it up and get a link to this on the show notes. Thank you.
Sure.
A follow-up with respect to Sceneform. So Sceneform, was it built to work specifically in tandem with AR Core? Or is Sceneform also just completely independent? Because from what it sounds, I'm trying to think, is Sceneform just like a nicer way to use OpenGL, or is Sceneform specifically a nicer way to use OpenGL with AR Core, if that makes sense? Like, is it linked to AR Core? Like, does most of the data that comes out of AR Core have to be fed into Sceneform, or is Sceneform something that I can just use instead of OpenGL altogether?
Yeah, sure. Great question. So they're basically independent SDKs, right? You can use AR Core and you don't need to use the Sceneform, right? But Sceneform perfectly clicks with the AR Core. And Sceneform does work with all of the files and APIs that AR Core provides. And again, just to give you a good example is, if when we're talking about AR Core, there is a concept of a session, right? And so what is a session is basically, I usually try to call it, it's associated with a big repository that collects the information about AR system stage, right? So it basically takes all of the information about the environment and the users is in front of himself or herself for a long period of time, right? And so this is what AR Core spits out, right, through a session. And Sceneform, what Sceneform does is that it needs to connect with that session in order to get the information about planes, right, and feature points and light estimation parameters, right? And so that information will be consumed from AR Core session into the so-called AR Scene View, which is an API for the Sceneform. And so what is AR Scene View? If you think about just general process of drawing, it's a canvas, right? In order to draw something, we have to have a canvas, right? So, and the functionality of a canvas is being performed by AR SceneView. And so SceneView gets the information from the session and gets the information about, for example, a plane that is being detected in front of me and is able to draw virtual objects on top of the AR SceneView. So yes, they basically very organically play together. If user developers, for example, don't really need to draw some 3D stuff, then you do need to integrate or drop Sceneform SDK into your project. You can just work with AR Core and some client implementation of 3D rendering. So they're decoupled, but they nicely organically work together.
That makes perfect sense. And you, I guess now that we're talking about some of these concepts with AR Core, like sessions and stuff, can you also walk us through the high-level concepts? Because I know there's like this concept of motion tracking, then there's like understanding the environment, then like you also, I think, mentioned about the light estimation. Can you give us like a brief overview of how this works?
Sure, yeah. So there are three main concepts that AR Core is built around, right? And the first one is motion tracking. And so what is motion tracking is a technology or basically an aspect of AR Core where with the help of the camera, AR Core is able to identify special points in the environment. And in the AR Core world or in the API, they're called feature points, right? So AR Core is able to see those feature points and they are always available, right? And so the combination of these feature points together with the data that is coming from inertial sensor is what helps us to identify camera position and orientation in the environment. So this is all around motion tracking. So using sensors, accelerometer, gyroscopes, and feature points, we can see where the camera is currently located and where it's facing towards.
What exactly, could you give me an example of what a feature point is? Is that like an actual physical location like in my room or something like that, if I'm using that analogy correctly?
Yeah, so it's basically a dot, right? If you think about visualization, it can be output as a dot. It usually different edges that AR Core sees, right? The edges of the table, right? Or the discrepancies between where one plane starts and the other plane ends, right? So it's basically those visual feedbacks of like AR Core being able to identify the planes. Not really, yeah, the Not really the planes, because when we're talking about the planes, it's actually environmental understanding. In motion tracking, AR Core sees the feature points, and then it sees the angles of the tables, and then it tries to draw a general picture. So if AR Core sees the consistency between if you're panning your phone to the right or left, and AR Core sees the consistency between how those feature points move and change in the environment, then AR Core is able to say, okay, I can see a plane at this point. So basically, feature points are always guaranteed to be identifiable by AR Core, and a developer will always get access to feature points. Planes are not always are available through AR Core. A lot depends on what room you're currently located in, how much light is in the room, and what are the objects in front of the user. Because on very white and plain surfaces, it's really hard for AR Core to identify feature points and edges. So in most cases, a very white plain surface is not detectable as a plane by AR Core.
I don't have to program feature points, right? That's just something the AR Core does for
Correct.
Me, right?
Yes, it's okay. By default. You can get access to all the feature points. Just invoking a method hit result, and you'll get a list of the feature points. Not the hit result, I'm sorry. In order to get a list of feature points, you have to invoke a method hit test, and as a result, you'll get a list of hit results that collect all of those feature points.
I think my brain hurts.
Sorry.
It's a lot of stuff. Holy cow! But no, you know your stuff. This is good. This is awesome.
When I started AR Core, I thought it would just be do AR Core, one single method, and then I'll do it. That's
too
what
magic.
It should be. Yeah,
no, magic. No. In reality, the API is really, really trivial and really, really easy. I'm just trying to explain all of the under the hood stuff that has happened. But if we look at the API side of AR Core, it's really very developer friendly. So as I mentioned earlier, the main components of the foundation of AR Core is a session, right? And a session is a repository that collects information about AR system state, and it changes in time. And but then on top of a session, there is a frame, right? And so if you think about it, if a user is spending 2 hours within your AR experience, right, the session will collect this information for 2 hours. And in most cases, you don't need this information, right, that has been delivered to you an hour ago, right? So this is where a concept of a frame come into place. So a frame as a subset of a session. And basically, frame is what you as developers would need to work with directly. So in a frame, again, collects the information about the AR system state just in a shorter period of time, and it provides all of the useful information. So in the three most important aspects that we can get from a frame is, as I mentioned earlier, a list of hit results. So hit result is basically array that AR Core draws with the to identify an intersection with potential planes, right? So imagine you user taps on a screen, right? And it's 2D coordinates, right? And then what AR Core does, AR Core is trying to draw a ray from that motion event and touch point on the screen to a potential intersection with a plane or feature point that it sees, right? Or is able to identify. And so if such an intersection is being identified, it's being returned as a list of hit results. And so on top of this hit result, which can be either a feature point or a plane, a user can draw objects. So that's the first most important information that we can retrieve from a frame, right? It's basically a list of hit results. Then another information that we can retrieve is basically camera, right? The orientation of the camera, the position of the camera, so everything that we need to know about camera probably current state. And the third important information that we can retrieve from the frame is light. So again, we need to know how bright or dark our objects are. And probably we need to tweak, right, the intensity of light on our objects. So this is another component and parameter, light intensity, that we can retrieve from a frame. So, and that's basically main components about AR Core. Again, it's a session, it's a frame, and three parameters or information and objects that we can retrieve from a frame.
So I had a quick question, sorry, with respect to the light estimation. I remember watching your presentation, and you had like this Google Home object that you placed, and you said, oh, this is how I can tweak like light estimation and then like make it appear like brighter or lighter or darker, right?
Yes, sure. That's correct. So basically what happens is we can get this parameter, this light intensity from a frame, and we get like a pixel intensity. And so we can either increase this parameter or decrease this parameter. So in this case, we're able to either darken or lighten our objects in order to increase this sense of realism of like, what are we trying to do?
Ah, so yeah, so because my question basically was, wait, what does light estimation do? Like, why do I have to, is it estimating the environment of the environment's light, or is it the object's light? But actually, like, yeah, it actually makes sense now, because now that you have the information for the environment, what you're doing is adjusting what you render to match that, to make it more real. Is that like is that really what happens, or am I
Yes,
just okay?
that's correct. Basically, AR Core just tells you how bright the environment is, and then it gives you this data, and then you can, using this data, you either want to lighten or darken your object, and you can use it. You can actually use the raw parameter. In most cases, in our experiences, we were using the raw parameter. We didn't really need to tweak it, decrease it, or increase it, but you do have such an opportunity if you would love to.
That makes sense. Okay, so yeah, I think I understand that now. Thank you.
Sure. And so, yeah, we've talked about session, right? And we've talked about frames, and we've talked about three aspects that we can retrieve from a frame. Just to recap, it's light estimation, basically camera information, and a list of heat results, right? Our feature points and planes. And so the next step will be we need to start drawing something, right? And so we need to know where exactly we will be drawing, right? So in what aspect of the room, right, where exactly we'll be drawing. And so here is where another important concept of AR Core comes into play, and it's like very critical to making sure that the stability of your AR experiences is very high. So the concept of an anchor. So some other AR experience frameworks, right, work in a way that you have some 3D coordinates, 2D coordinates, right? And you draw the object relying on that X and Y position, right? And AR Core does not do draw, I mean, not really drawing, but positioning in this way. You do have access to X and Y coordinates, right, of like most of the stuff. But in order to draw certain things, we have to create an anchor. And so an anchor is basically that pinpoint which you need to associate it on the plane, right, and drop it there. And so anchor is your main point where you will be drawing items. And why anchors are important? Because AR Core works in a way that it always adjusts tracking, right? It always adjusts the position of feature points and planes.
Is this, again, same question I had before, is this something I have to code, or does AR Core do this for me?
It's very trivial. It's really trivial. So if we talk about coding steps, so I mentioned that we need to invoke a method, heat test on a frame, right? And a frame is given to you for free. So we're invoking a method heat test on a frame. We're getting a list of heat results, right? And so we're getting the first heat result usually, because the first heat result is the closest plane for us or a feature point, right? So we're getting that first heat result, and then we're invoking a method create anchor on a heat result, and that's it. So literally, it's just it's just one line of code to create an anchor, right? To identify a frame, it's also one line of code. To get a list of heat results, it's also one line of code. So I would say that AR Core itself, in terms of coding, is no more than probably 10 to 20 lines of code in terms of get this information. So this information is given for you to you for free. We just need to access it through invoking different methods on a frame or a session.
Okay, excellent. Now, I want to kind of just even rewind here. So we covered a lot of material here. We covered a lot of how things work behind the scenes. We're talking about anchors and planes and feature points and various sensors and lighting and so forth like that. Now, I kind of understand a lot of that stuff, but at the end of the day, what I want to do as a developer, and probably most of the folks on the show are developers, they want to actually build an application. And if you were talking to a coworker who wanted to get started with AR and they want to get their feet wet, building their first application, what would you recommend them set out to do as their first application? And how would you recommend them get started to actually completing that small project?
Sure. I think that, the first step that would need to be done is basically do and go extreme in terms of creating, really advanced models, right? And drawing something extraordinary and like throwing animation, right? The first step would be to integrate AR Core and play with planes and feature point detection, right? So, and what AR Core is, what AR Core can give you, I can help you with, right? You can get a list of the planes and feature points, and you can visualize them on your screen, right? So that would be the first step, just to play with geometry detection and try to understand that, like, what AR Core can spit out to you, right? What potential it has in terms of what information it can provide. Mm-hmm. After you are able to install AR Core, run it, and see feature points and planes, and basically get access to the light estimation parameter, the next step will be to start drawing, right? And again, there are a lot of online tooling that will give you an opportunity to play with already created 3D assets that can be utilized to draw 3D objects. So the next step will be to drop a scene form SDK into the project and drop OBG and PNG files. Again, they will be given to you for free if you find them online. And then Sceneform does all the magic for you. Sceneform will generate 3D model for you. And then utilizing this plane model, you don't have to have a lot of them, just one model. You can associate this model with your anchor that you place on a feature point or a plane, right? So I would say, yeah, that's the easiest thing that we can do. And actually, there is a really nice example of the application that has been built by Google with Android figurine that can be placed in the room. So it's basically, you can download it on GitHub, you can spin it up, run it, and you will be able to see examples of feature points, you will be able to see planes, and you will be able to place a 3D object in the environment. So I think it has a really nice, steps or in examples of like how very trivial application can be built.
Now, you said something that was interesting to me is that you want to make sure that you can play with the geometry and see the geometry. When you said that, do you actually mean that I can fire up an application and just kind of move the camera around and I can see the geometry highlighted? Or is this geometry just kind of just like output to Logcat and I have to read the Logcat output?
You can do both. Yeah, I mean, so in our case, definitely when we were doing a lot of testing and trying to see how powerful AR Core is and how many actual planes it can see, right? Like, does it see actual walls? Does it see just the horizontal planes? And so we were highlighting all of the feature points. We were just making them red in order to see how many of them AR Core is able to identify. We also were highlighting all of our planes, how many planes AR sees at once. So all of that information all of those steps can be done. Plus, it's really great for debugging and trying to get familiar with geometry detection. And you can also, output it to the Logcat, for example, to see if the number of planes is huge and you don't want to calculate it on the screen, you can output to the Logcat a number and you will see how many planes you will get as a result of geometry detection.
Cool. So I guess the next question is building on Don's theme of like, okay, in the end, I just want to build an AR app, right? Obviously, when I think about OpenGL and I think about all of these things, like the first thing that pops into my head is like, oh, what's the language I'm going to be writing in this, right? If you think about OpenGL, it wasn't necessarily as pleasant as like most developers who worked with OpenGL now. So with the newer SDKs, like, have you noticed, like, is there like something, what language are we talking here? I mean, can you use Kotlin? Can you use or is it just straight up Java? Do I have to dive into like C? In your experience, if you had to build like a proper AR Core, what's the range of languages or stuff that you would expect typically developers to be jumping in and out of?
Yeah, great question. So yeah, I didn't need to work with C. We didn't really change all of the renderers and rendering work. Everything that has been provided by Sceneform and the default renderer has been suffice for us. So we started to write the application, or AR experience in Java, and it was nice. No really issues there. That some people have wrote it relying on Kotlin. There's just a reason behind why we cannot really rely on Kotlin at this point. Just a little bit of a background. We build Android Instant Apps, and there is a size limit of 4 MB. And with it integrating a Kotlin library, it adds around a little bit less than 1 MB, but it's still huge in terms of Instant Apps. So I wasn't able to play with AR Core and Kotlin together. But it's just a limitation of our project. AR Core and Synform should be totally compatible with Kotlin. I don't see any issues relying on Kotlin to write the experience.
Cool. So there's a ton of stuff that it seems like that's going on inside of Android Studio, all kinds of stuff like that. And with all of the things that are, everything that comes, the good comes the bad is what I'm trying to say. Are there any limitations in regards to AR and AR Core in general? Like, for example, is this going to be like a battery killer? Or are we limited to certain devices or certain API levels, et cetera?
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely battery drainer is an outcome of working with your experience generally. And a lot depends on, how intensively you're drawing objects, right? Depending of how much work GPU is doing, right? And how quickly, maybe there is like extra animation that you add, right? So the potential of like how quickly you can drain the battery grows with the extra capabilities you're adding, right? And extra advanced stuff that you're adding to your AR experience. I would say that in order to not to impact the performance of the application when working with AR Core so much tremendously, a good rule of thumb is not to draw more than 12 anchors, right? So usually if you draw an anchor, somewhere far away, and then you pan the phone to the right, try to detach that anchor, right? Try not to make AR Core do extra work for you, because having more than 12 anchors will have this performance overhead on the device and basically can bring some tracking errors in the experience. We didn't really talk about a dependency on an AR Core application, right? So building AR experience and dropping SDK, right, in your builder Gradle file is not enough, right? So we as developers need to make sure that our users on the devices have an AR Core application installed. And because if you're building your application with AR Core, without having your application will crash.
Oh, so this is like an independent application that you have to have installed apart from the application that actually uses, that demonstrates the AR experience.
Yes, that's correct. Another thing to keep in mind is that AR Core is being supported just on the API level 24 and above, right? So it makes sense to keep it as a separate application and not pull it, right, as a dependency. And if you as a developer would love to play with AR Core, you have to make sure that your users have this external application installed. And there is a very nice developer-friendly API, how you can prompt users to install the application right within your application. So there's basically just one line of code, install request. And what it will do, it will pop up a window in your application. It's like a mini Google Play window that will prompt the user to install the application, the AR Core application that your application will depend on.
Wow, thank you so much. This was a lot of information. Yes. And I think this is action packed, like a lot of good stuff in here. Are there any other resources that you can point us to at this point? So how did you get started on learning AR? I'm sure our listeners would also like to if they want to start delving into a little more of some of the details of the concepts that we mentioned, what are some good resources to look at?
So probably my quick advice would be, please don't be scared. I know that a lot of information sounds not like Android development at all, and it's like a totally different universe, totally different platform. In reality, it's not. And believe me, I were in the same position when we started to experiment with AR Core, because I didn't know anything and I have not had any AR experience previously. But the tooling and the SDKs that I provided and the documentation are pretty much suffice. So when I was learning AR experiences, I was basically relying primarily on the documentation provided on official developer website. and it has really nice examples. I also checked out a few examples on the GitHub that Google put up, and the sessions that have been released during Google I/O are also very powerful, especially and very resourceful, especially around scene form, right? They are just, I would say, around 2 to 3 sessions that Google provided this year at Google I/O, and they go into details of like where you start and where you finish, really like step by step of what you need to do. So you can actually spin up a video, right? Open your IDE, install Syncform plugin, and just like follow what Google does at Google I/O. It's very helpful.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Thank you for that. And also thank you for like the encouragement. I feel many times we tend to sort of like get overwhelmed by all of these concepts. So it's nice to hear that someone who hasn't done AR before has like, you know, gotten to that point. So thank you for saying that. That's very great. Helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. And probably another thing that I want to just tell to the community, if you ever have questions about AR Core or Syncform, and you want to just, you know, I don't know, just hang out with some questions asked, I will be happy to just in a quick hangout and help you and let you start it. And basically hold your hand as you will be doing AR development, because I hope it will be helpful. So don't hesitate to reach to me and ask for help or ask questions or block us that you run into as you will be building and working with your core Syncform.
That's awesome.
That's great.
We'll add a link to the show notes to your talk as well, which I thought was amazing. But if folks wanted to reach out to you, Yulia, and take you up on that offer, what's a good place to do that?
I think Twitter. I'm pretty active on Twitter. So in my Twitter handle is Yulia Kalida. So it's basically my first name and my last name. Mm-hmm.
And we'll add a link to that in the show notes. And Don, if listeners want to reach out to you and find out about your $1 million cat AR app, where should folks find out more info on that?
Folks can follow me at Don Felker on Twitter and Instagram. And Kaushik, what if folks want to learn about all the magnificent AR tricks you're performing? How do they get a hold of you?
Kaushik Gopal on Twitter and on Instagram is a good place. Thank you all so much for listening. Yulia, thank you so much for this. It was so informative. Thank you so much for spending time and like talking to us about AR.
Thank you. It was totally my pleasure to be on the podcast.
Thank you, folks. And we will catch you in the next episode. Once again, we want to thank our sponsor for today's show, Bitrise. Bitrise is a mobile continuous integration and delivery service for your whole team with dozens of integrations for your favorite services. Head on over to bitrise.io to find out more. Thanks again for sponsoring today's show, Bitrise. That's it for the show, folks. Fragmented is hosted by Don Felker and me, Kaushik Gopal. We edit and produce all the episodes here on Fragmented. Sarah the Amazing Jackson from the Spec Network helps with production assistance and wraps our final mix. Our theme and ad music is by the national recording artist Blueprint from Weightless Recordings. You can find more Fragmented episodes at fragmentedpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we will catch you in the next episode.